Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of PB Fintech Limited. We have with us today Mr. Yashish Dahiya, Chairman and CEO, Mr. Alok Bansal, Executive Vice Chairman and Whole Time Director, Mr. Sarbvir Singh, President, Policybazaar, Mr. Naveen Kukreja, CEO, Paisabazaar, Mr. Mandeep Mehta, Group CFO, and Ms. Rasleen Kaur, Head, Corporate Strategy and Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yashish Dahiya. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I will start by reiterating a few facts about our business. Once more, a majority of health and life insurance consumers in India do their research on Policybazaar. This leads to a higher persistency owing to the fact that when consumers research, they know what they are purchasing. Our renewal revenue is now at an ARR of 290 crores. We have the best conversion engine in the industry and continue to improve our premium per inquiry, which is now greater than 1,500 rupees per inquiry for the first half of the year, which is the highest we've ever achieved. There is continuous improvement in customer onboarding, service, and claim support, which has led us in the last few months to receive more than 10,000 appreciation letters from customers every month and a CSAT of 86%. It is indeed a massive change in the number of appreciations that we are receiving from consumers. Higher customer disclosure, along with strong data analytics and fraud detection mechanisms that we've developed over the years, lead to better claims ratios, which essentially allow our insurance partners to settle a higher percentage of claims than they do through many other channels. We grew at 105% year-on-year, and our existing business has now been profitable for the last three quarters. In the last quarter, our interest income exceeded our adjusted EBITDA loss. This is the first quarter that's happened in the last, you know, couple of years. From our existing business, our adjusted EBITDA increased by 60 crore rupees for the quarter and 98 crore rupees for the first half of the year. If some of you may recollect, in the last quarter call, I had tried to explain more from a layman perspective that, look, our adjusted EBITDA should keep growing at roughly about 150 crore-200 crore every year. As you would appreciate, this 98 crore in one half of the year is very much in line with that. Our revenue in the first half of this year is about 5.3x our revenue in the same period in the full year 2019. The reason I explain this is because a lot of people ask what happened during COVID. See, COVID came, COVID went. Now COVID is over, but these are two good years to compare, this first half of this year with the first half of that year. We are about 5.3x bigger. Just by the way, I wanted to say this in a funny way. Our valuation was about the same as it is today. So anyway, our core businesses, the insurance marketplace, Policybazaar, and the credit marketplace, Paisabazaar, grew at 55% year-on-year to 410 crores. Of this revenue, the credit-linked revenue was 101 crores for the quarter. For our existing insurance business, we had an adjusted EBITDA of 18 crore rupees for the quarter. For complicated products like health or life insurance, we have been extending our customer connect beyond remote calling by giving consumers the convenience to have physical meetings at the convenience and in their local language. We are happy to mention that consumers have accepted this wholeheartedly. We continue to extend this in 114 cities. Paisabazaar continues to grow very well and has rebounded well since COVID. We are now at an annual run rate of 12,000 crore rupees of disbursements and 0.5 million credit cards issued on an annualized basis. Over 31 million customers access the credit score platform from 824 towns. 73% of all cards issued in Q2 were end-to-end digital. Co-created products like Step Up Card, Duet Credit Card are gaining traction. And as we reported last time, we still expect our credit business to be adjusted basis, EBITDA positive by Q4 of this year. To update on new initiatives, PB Partners, our seller aggregation platform, leads the market in scale and has the highest proportion of non-motor business and has started increasing efficiency, as you will see from the numbers. Our UAE business has grown by 110% year on year. We said our existing business, while there's been a general slowdown in the retail protection sales, we delivered 34% growth in health insurance premiums and 29% in life insurance premiums new business. And just for any of those who are confused, that is this new renewal, the new and renewal for health are pretty much in line with each other. They're about the same percentage. So there's no games being played here in terms of disclosure. This essentially means we have been growing at about 2 to 5x of the industry, and they're speaking about just the core business, right? We stay confident of being adjusted EBITDA positive by the last quarter of this year. It's actually fairly straightforward if you think about it. There's 18 crores of profit in the core business and there's 65 of loss in the new initiative. The new initiative will basically go down to 30 and the core will basically go up to 50. So you should, you know, comfortably be adjusted EBITDA positive. So there's not much surprise there. And for the next year, we should be full year PAT positive in 2023-24. That's the hope. But I just wanted to point out one little thing there, which is actually quite telling. We'll be doing that while taking on about 310 crores of ESOP costs, charges, which, by the way, a few years from then will not be there. So that's, you know, pretty much telling you that even if nothing happens to our business, that 310 crores of profit will be there pretty much in a guaranteed manner. Of course, we'll grow as well. So with that, happy to take questions now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ashish and team. Congratulations on great results. I think the top line looks good. The EBITDA losses narrowing. I had a quick question regarding the breakdown of premium. If you can help with that between, say, how much is it is POSP and how much is renewal, if that's possible.
So, POSP is 458 crores for Q2 this year. The core policy bazaar is 2,026 crores. That's what we disclose. I already told you both the health and life business grew at approximately 30% on the new side and on the renewals, both.
Sure. Thanks for that. And I assume the core business also includes corporate insurance there.
Yes, it does.
Right. Okay. So, on the term side of it, which I think continues to look weak even now, and some of the insurers have been commenting probably H1, H2 will look better. Do you have any views on how that's shaping up for you in terms of the growth side of term?
So the total for premium for term insurance grew at 57%, but the fresh premium grew at roughly about 20% for the quarter. Is that okay?
No, I was asking that generally, do you have a view on how the term industry is functioning, right? It continues to be weak. So do you see H2 being much better than how H1 has been?
Yeah, there is definitely a better growth now than the last quarter. If I remember correctly, the last quarter was lesser than this. It was about 60% of this growth rate. This growth rate is at, what we mentioned right now. And for the industry, there were swings towards certain players, etc. Increasingly, those are settling down. But we don't comment too much on individual players and, who gets market share. But on the whole, we think the industry has been about flat. So, the numbers we have is the industry has grown at, either declined. For the first half, the industry has declined a little bit. If you look at the second quarter, the industry is probably flat to a little bit decline. So we are obviously growing in that backdrop.
Sounds good. Just one final question on the cash balance, right? We have this 5,000 CR cash that's obviously helping us with the interest income that we are generating. But what's the plan for this going forward?
I think once we get profitable, once we deliver 100 crores of profit, we will also discuss what we do with this cash. I think it's too early. Let's get there. Let's deliver at least the first 100 crores of profit before we start, concluding that this cash will never be utilized, so to say.
Sure. Good. Thank you. Thanks for your answer.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, our cash plus receivable will not go down from here. It just will always stay about the same number. So we are not losing cash. That's all.
Great.
And that's what you just saw, right? So last quarter also we've not lost cash. So.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Agrawal? We are unable to hear you.
Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Right. Thank you so much for taking my question. I just had a few questions about certain products. So there was headline product that was mentioned last quarter. Is it still after the directions that have been issued? Is it still going forward? Because as far as the credit line thing is concerned, we are not allowed to give a credit line without actually having the balance in the instrument. So is that product being continued? If there's any color on the product?
Sorry, could you just repeat the question once more? Naveen is looking at me. So
I think if I understood the question correctly, your question is related to the regulation which came out on credit line when it was linked to PPI was disallowed by the regulator.
Yes, right. And there was a credit line product that we used to issue till quarter one. So have we discontinued that product or how are we working around that?
That is different. We run the product with a bank. There is absolutely no impact on that product. It's a credit line product which works like a personal loan. So as a consumer, if you want to draw out any amount from that credit line, it converts into a term loan. There is absolutely no impact on that product being issued by a bank. And our partner in that case is a bank.
And if I'm understanding this correct, we partner with the bank and when the person or the customer takes the credit line out, it becomes a term loan with the bank. So the risk is with the bank and then it's between the bank and the customer. So we don't have any impact on us.
Absolutely. And it was always, the funds were always flowing from the bank to the customer bank account. That continues to be the process.
Right. That is in line with the guidelines. So one question about last quarter, there was this thing mentioned that our take rate had improved in one of the core businesses. So, can you please give us some color on which business that was and are we sustaining that? Is the take rate still high in that business? How is it contributing to the overall take rate?
Yeah, it continues to be high. I think we didn't disclose. We don't want to go into take rates by business, but it's a structural change in that business. It's not that we did something in the last quarter and it's not continuing this quarter. Overall, it continues to be the case.
Right. Thank you so much. Sir, just one more question about the investments in the new initiatives. So, any trajectory on what kind of investments are we going to see in the new initiatives going forward?
I think our we would be subdued on any investments at least till we put a reasonable amount of profit on the books. I'm very focused on a single number, to be brutally honest. and focus on a single number, which is 1,000 crores of profit in 26-27. To me, nothing else matters. And I don't think we are interested in making investments in too many things. New initiatives. No, I think they're talking about new investments.
No, new initiatives. Basically, new initiatives. Investments in the new initiatives to generate business.
You know, we have stated in the past that our new initiatives investment for the current year is going to be somewhere near to our interest income. And that continues to hold. It's come down from the last quarter and it will continue to become more and more efficient as we look at quarter three and quarter four. And I'll just go back to the, you know, credit question that you asked. See, you need to understand is what we do as a credit business is just a marketplace. And since we are a marketplace, a lot of the new regulation which came in the last 4-5 months related to BNPL or FLDG or a lot of other stuff is actually not impacting us. We do work with a lot of partners which are banks or NBFCs. And since we are a marketplace, we only connect or, you know, provide a platform where the handshake can happen. So that's what the business model we had almost minimal impact or no impact from all the stuff that you see. And in the deck also that we have circulated, we have mentioned specifically about the regulation from the credit side this time. Because, you know, those were a lot of action happening on that side from RBI. And we wanted to very clearly state that our business model is totally, totally different. It's not getting impacted at all from any of those changes.
Correct. Got it, sir. And, sir, on the investment part that you mentioned, you said that it will be lesser than this or... So right now, this quarter, it was 65 crores in the new initiatives. Going forward, it will be at this level or lower than that, if my understanding is correct, right?
So as I clarified in my opening comments itself that our expectation is by Q4, it should be in the range of 30 to 35 crores by this year.
Okay.
So it will be by the next two quarters.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, just one thing about the POSP business. So in that business, so we have two offline businesses. One is our own full-time employees who work as PV fintech employees and who help the customers with whatever issues they have. And one business is PV partners where third-party agents can come on the app and become agents. And we share the commission that we get from the insurers with the agents, right? So can you just give us some color on how the business is going on both the offline fronts?
Yeah, sure. So I think as Yashish mentioned and we've also disclosed in the presentation, the whole point of having offline presence in the first part, I think you understood the model very well. In the first part where existing Policy Bazaar customers have a choice to meet someone in person, that part is adding very well to our business. We have almost 1,000 people now deployed in that business. The APE per lead, which we disclosed, I think has been disclosed at over 1,500 now for the first half. So this number has been continuously growing. So I think that part is doing very well. It's increasing our conversion. On the PV partner side, as we said, we did over 450 crores of premium. The losses in that business or our investment in that business has continued to come down. We've actually reduced that over the last two quarters. The revenue from that business has grown significantly from Q1 into Q2. So I think even there, it's a healthier business and I think we are moving very, very well in the direction that we want to do. One more metric in that business is that our non-motor business, so the motor business is very commoditized. The non-motor business continues to now, we are almost 20% of our business is non-motor and that is the highest in the industry. So I think all the metrics, both financial and qualitative, or both businesses look pretty good at this point.
All right, sir. Thank you. I'll just leave with my last question. Can you please give some clarity on how ECB works?
Come back in the queue, sir.
Right, I will. I'll just finish. This is my last question. Can you please give us some color on how the ESOPs will work going forward? This is my last question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so on the ESOP part, as I mentioned earlier, the cost continues to come down every year. The ESOP grant happened in October last year and the first year impact basically spread out over two financial years because of that. So 6 months of last financial year and 6 months of this financial year. And then it comes down for the next 12 months and continues to come down every 12 months. So, you know, the number that we have for this year is about, I think, 600 crore plus minus a bit. Buying some new grant and all. But if you look at next year, this number should come down to somewhere between 300 to 350 crores.
and then it continues to come down very drastically post that.
So basically, of the total grant, about 60% gets kind of expensed.
70% in first 2 years.
No, I'm saying by March 23.
Yes.
By March 23, 60% of it would have got expensed.
Yes.
So then in the next 3.5 years, you've only got 40% more to be expensed. So as I said, our objective of becoming profitable next year with 300 crores, 310 crores or 340 whatever crores of ESOP grants implies that at some point in the very near future, that ESOP cost will not be there. So you'll obviously see that advantage.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Congratulations and best of luck for future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to answer all queries, kindly restrict your question to one at a time. We have a next question from the line of Sagar Sangvi from ADD Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have only one question. If we look at the slide 11 of your presentation, there is a mention of Bima Sugam. So if you can just help us understand what could be the disruption caused, can be caused by this proposed or discussion on of Bima Sugam or something, and how would you plan to mitigate the same?
See, I think if you make a correlation to the travel business, which I used to be in long time ago, we used to have global distribution systems there, the likes of Amadeus, Galileo, Sabre, Worldspan, and those were very critical in powering the travel businesses. So if you look at Expedia, the reason Expedia went worldwide and could expand very rapidly was because they essentially had a tie-up with Worldspan, and Worldspan was giving them all the integrations and everything else. So to an extent, I see that kind of role being played by Bima Sugam as an exchange. Because that would be the UPI moment for the industry, and that would make it, help other distributors go grow. Whatever product they were selling, whether they were selling motor or health or term. So I think it will be a very positive move for the industry overall. And, for us per se as well, because it would get us access to a lot of data layers, which we may or may not have access to today. Because Bima Sugam will have those. So I think it's a fairly positive move for us.
So you mentioned you'll have access to a lot of data layers. So do you plan to enter into KRA business, that is KYC, registration agency, a kind of business, as you handle a lot of customer data or something like that?
So I'll tell you, I'm not trying to be cagey about it. There's very little we can say because we don't have so much clarity yet. In fact, we have met with the regulator and we asked for clarity also at this point, and that was with the distribution department. And there didn't exist so much clarity in terms of us starting to get to think about it from an operational perspective, that, what does it mean? But that's the reality of the situation right now. But I guess as it evolves further, right now there's a lot of conversation in the media, but that's not what is flowing through operationally to us. So we have to wait it out and see how it goes. But to me, the analogy is the GDSs and the travel businesses, which I used to run one of them, which was eBookers. So I understand that analogy very well. And if you think about it, flights as a business has really moved on to GDSs, but hotels still stays somewhat out of the GDSs, packages stays out of the GDSs. So I think these things take time. They just, so you get the story, right? It doesn't suddenly, magically just happen in 1 month.
Got it, yes. And one more related question to your financials. So you are talking of about 1,000 crore of PAT by 2026-27, FY 26-27, right? So that would also help throw a free cash flow of about 1,200 odd crore rupees a year post that. And you are already sitting on a pretty large cash balance. Do you plan to enter insurance manufacturing, selling of insurance?
No, we have no such plan. We have no such plan. In fact, to be brutally honest, we don't have any clue what we will do with this roughly 6,500 crores of cash that we will have at that stage.
So, and that's the reality, and I think we will be in a position where this question... See, right now the question to us is, guys, become profitable. Tell us that you're not making this crap up, right? You're actually going to be profitable. That's step one. I think once we do that, the next question is going to be, okay, guys, what are you going to do with this cash that you have? Now that you're profitable, you're cash flow positive, and you don't really want to make acquisitions, what are you going to do with this cash?
Exactly.
And I think at that point, let's get to that point first, right? We are in class one right now. Let's get to class four before we take the exam of class four. So I think, you know, I think this is the time for us to be heads down and executing rather than thinking too far into the future about, you know, what we're going to do with this beautiful amount of cash that we have lying with us. But yeah, of course, we will not waste it. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll return it to you guys.
Okay.
As to the investors, I don't know whether you're an investor or an analyst. But
the shareholder investor and analyst both. Anyway, so that's helpful and great set of execution in this quarter. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Adarsh Parasrampuria from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ashish, Alok and team. Thanks for the call. Question is on the savings business. If you can just throw some light on what's been done in the last 6 months and the 3 months.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you speak louder, please?
Correct. So my question was relating to the savings business momentum. This year was supposed to be a big year for savings. So
sir, it is still low. Can you use the handset, please?
We've understood the question. So I think sir, we've lost.
Yeah, I think our momentum in the saving business continues, I think, in the same way that we planned. Both last year was a very good year for us, and the first two quarters have also been very good. And I think the best way to think about it is that there are two things that have happened. One is that the premium is growing very rapidly, and also there has been a structural shift in terms of the kind of products that we sell. The main product that we sell is a capital guarantee solution, which ensures that the capital that the person has invested is safe, and they have an upside due to the market. So they have a ULIP upside. And then this solution has been really well received, and with the fact that now we have offline agents also who are going to meet customers, we are able to increase the ticket size. So just to give you a sense, the ticket size offline is almost 50% higher than the ticket size online. So as you can see, this business is benefiting from all these tailwinds. One is our business momentum, second, higher ticket size, third, the fact that offline is improving our conversion. So I think in this forum, that's all I'd like to say. But this is one of our fastest growing businesses, and now the economics of this business are also very good.
Any ballpark number of premiums in the first 6 months?
Our ballpark and exact is not very different. We obviously know the exact numbers. We decided not to disclose these here.
Got it, Yashish. And my second question was relating to expenses beyond the contribution line and ESOPs. Growth there that you would expect, Yashish, anything changing to make that growth, or that's going to be inflation linked? You shouldn't see a lot of very high growth in that part of expense, which is beyond the contribution.
Please answer. You are the guy who will grow cost. You grow cost. Nobody else is going to grow cost.
No, I think as Yashi said, the objective is very clear. We want to deliver profit, and I think we are focused on that. Those costs will increase, you know, as low as possible is all I would say. You know, the rest, there is inflation in the market. There is natural increase in that. But the idea is to keep them much lower than our revenue growth rate.
And sorry, I'll just go back with one more question on that capital guarantee products. When you're doing these products and they're doing well, just wanted to check, are the take rates for you selling these products in the first year low? We get feedback from a couple of insurers that, you know, the guarantees are quite high in some of the products, and you know, their offset is basically partner not taking a lot of upfront premium. So just wanted to understand your take on that.
So just to be very clear, it's a combination of a non-par, a guaranteed plan, and a ULIP. And if you think about it, clearly, you know, the mixture is reasonably, see, we are not a commission first shop to begin with, right? So we are not trying to sell things which have the highest commission. We are trying to sell the best solution for the customer. In this case, as you can imagine, a combination of a non-par and a ULIP has a better return, a better commission profile than just a ULIP. So I think that's really the change that has happened for us. So it depends on where you start, right? So we were selling more ULIPs. Now we are selling a combination of ULIP and non-par. So clearly the commission is better for that. But, you know, we are not, by any stretch of imagination, we are not maximizing the commission in our savings business.
So on the previous one, I wanted to give you a straightforward answer. I don't think we will see our fixed costs going up by more than 10 to 12% in a year.
That's good news.
Obviously, Paisa Bazaar was coming from a COVID year when their operations were very small. But okay, so that's it.
Perfect. Thanks, Yashisha Lokan team.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Subramanian Iyer from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I had a few data questions. So one is, basically you gave the number for co-premium, which is about 2,026 crores. Can you please split it into new and renewal and also give the same numbers for the last year, second quarter as well? And the other question I had was, in the previous quarter, you used to give this number of credit-related revenues. So you used to split your revenues into credit and insurance-related. So if you could do this for this quarter as well and give it for the same for the second quarter last year as well. And I just wanted to understand the progress on basically your on contracts with your partners on getting renewal revenues, in the sense that you were in web aggregator previously and you were not entitled to renewal revenues. So how is the progress on that?
So remind me if I miss any of your questions, okay? So first thing I picked up was you wanted to know what is our new versus renewal split. It stays very similar to how it has been in the past. There's no real change in that. Okay. It's roughly half and half. So about 50% is new, about 50% is renewals, right? And 101 crores of our core revenue was credit link. So you had a total core revenue of 410, of which 110 was credit link, and the rest would be all 101 crores is credit link, and the rest would be all insurance linked. Is there anything I'm missing in your question? Sorry, because they came together, so I may have missed something.
No, that's good. The third one was on the progress on renewal contracts. And yeah.
Renewal contracts, you mean in terms of in life insurance receiving more renewals in the future, etc.? Yes. Yeah, there's conversations going on there, but nothing material to report in terms of massive changes of anything. But on Paisa Bazaar, there is a big renewal change. There's a positive surprise for us because Paisa Bazaar historically never had renewals. And it's very heartening to note one thing. If you look at it carefully, Paisa Bazaar renewal rates have now hit, so trail revenue has now hit the same level as Policy Bazaar was in 2018. So you can see that. And they're actually growing much faster than Policy Bazaar trail revenues ever grew. So there is an expectation. And, you know, Naveen, correct me if I'm wrong. The expectation is we would be doing about $700,000 by March per month. So, you know, that if that happens, there should be almost, in my opinion, if I was to look forward, that's almost $10 million of renewal revenue next year. Because there is growth and there is multiply by 12, etc., which is a huge positive surprise because that did not. So if you asked us what would be Paisa Bazaar renewal revenue sitting back in, you know, when we were going public, I don't think anybody had any expectation of that.
Got it. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prateek Poddar from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, so just one question. I noticed that your core insurance revenue, the take rates have gone up on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Can you help me understand why? How has that gone up?
As we said, one of the products, it's basically a product mix situation, and one of the products, the take rates have increased.
Yeah. So I think it's two things. One is that our life and health businesses are a greater proportion of our overall business than they were in the previous year. And the second thing is, as we just discussed, in one of our businesses in life, the take rates have increased year on year.
And which is the business line item, sir? Which is it?
We don't want to disclose that exactly, but if you listen to the previous conversation, you would get a fairly good clue.
Okay. And just one quick clarification. You've talked about absorbing a 5 crore loss by the non-insurance business. This 5 crores pertains to Paisa Bazaar? I'm just clarifying.
It pertains to the credit business. That is, all of it is in Paisa Bazaar. So Paisa Bazaar has credit revenue and insurance revenue. So all of it is in credit Paisa Bazaar. So yes, you're right. So 5 crores is the credit business. So the credit business, see, the disclosure is there, right? There's 101 crores of revenue.
Yeah.
And there is 5 crores of losses there. For the quarter, so you can imagine there is no way they're not breaking even in the next 3 months. Like, of course, there is some way, but they'll have to be very special to do that. So.
And Yashish, just on contribution margins for your credit business, is it very similar to what it was last quarter?
Yes, it's very similar to what it was last quarter. But, you know, Naveen's doing a very smart thing. He's not telling his team to take the renewal revenue into account. So he's basically keeping it at the same margin, and the renewal revenue is just getting added on. So there is a bit of a interesting thing he's doing from an operational perspective. Naveen, you want to explain?
Your question, the contribution has remained similar, which is about 40% or higher. Yashish was talking about the trail revenue, which is increasing quarter by quarter, and if we execute the trail revenue well, then that comes at a very, very high contribution as it starts to become meaningful. That comes at about 90% contribution.
What cost do you have in that? It's 100%. No, what is the cost that you have
in
that?
It's the servicing and the communication cost. So 90-95%, yeah.
Okay. Understood. And sorry, I think you guys missed one of the previous participants was asking for Q2 FY22, the same thing.
Sorry, what was that? You got disconnected.
Mr. Poddar, can you repeat your question, please? I'm sorry, Mr. Poddar.
It's okay. Maybe he'll come back again. Yeah.
Yes. We'll take the next question from Nishant Savate from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. The last quarter, you mentioned that life and health were around 75% of the premium. What would be the ratio like in this quarter?
Slightly higher, actually.
Yeah, slightly higher.
It's if I look at it, it's getting towards 77-78%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And contribution of corporate business in the first half would be like how much? Very approximately.
It's there's nothing. Yeah, it's a contribution as in contribution. Yeah. Right? We count contribution the money we make.
I'm sorry, so, share of premium.
That, I don't think we disclosed that, yeah.
But should be similar to what was there in the previous year, or it kind of goes up, goes down? You can kind of
similar. Maybe it's a little lower. Oh, sorry. If you look year on year, it's about flat, yeah.
Okay.
It's about flat. There's no change in that.
My second question pertains to ESOPs. Now, I was just trying to understand what is the exercise period for the ESOPs once they vest.
So, our ESOP policy is very simple. It's 5 years into 20% per year, and about 80% of the ESOPs were granted last year October. 20% would be granted over time, and for the four senior people, including Yashish, myself, Tamin and Shavir, there was an added clause that we can only vest once it crosses a certain valuation threshold. But that doesn't mean those laps, it just delays the exercise, that's all. So from practical perspective, you can just say 5 into 20% because that's what goes into the accounts.
No, but the point is that when you are issuing ESOPs, there will be some period, right, a window up to which you can exercise.
5 years. It's a 5 year and 20% per year. So, okay, for exercise, how long?
That's right. I mean, if you don't exercise, I believe some of the ESOP expenses can be reversed in, let's say, in an eventuality where, you know, you don't exercise your ESOPs.
5 years. So the question is, the vesting schedule is 5 years, 20% each year, and after vesting, there's a period of 5 years for exercise.
Okay, okay. And the entire ESOP expenses, you will have to, will hit the P&L at the time of vesting, potentially.
No. They've already, 60% of them have hit the P&L by March 23. It's done.
See, the rule in the India AS is very simple. The day you grant, based on the grant value and the share price at which it's been granted at that time, there's a charge which hits your P&L. And the charge is structured in such a way that in the first 12 months, 45.67% will come into your P&L for a 5 year into 20% grant, because the way it works is very simple. I think in the past we have explained that in the deck also. First year 20%, you have to take 100%.
Yeah, first year is 45%. Yeah, 46% in the first year. The second year is about 24%, 25%. Then it is about 13%. And finally it's like, you know, 3% or something in the last year.
Last year is 4%, but yeah, 4%. It drops very fast. But the charges are decided upfront when you grant, and it has to be taken from the grant date itself.
And I also,
nothing linked to exercise.
There's nothing linked to exercise. So I'll give you an example, right? Like today our share price is below when we granted these ESOPs. So the cost that we are facing does not come down. Neither would it have come down if our share price had gone up. It wouldn't have gone up either. So everything is linked to the day they were granted. Now, what is happening in terms of accounting is just the flow through. Yes, if there are, you know, as Alok said, 80% were issued then, were granted then, and 20% may be granted sometime in the future. Those 20% will be priced on the day that they granted.
Okay.
So, but that's broadly it. I don't know if you need more clarity, but if you want more clarity, you know, one can have a separate session with.
No, I think I can clarify. This clarifies. Yeah. Thank you very much and all the best.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anshuman Depp from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. My question was regarding the point of sale premiums of around 458 crore that you said for this quarter. So, you know, I remember this was the same, more or less the same number in Q4 of last year, FY22. So, you know, we are not growing this business, POS business, too much now. It is more or less stable. I just wanted to understand that has the objective been achieved, what we started to do through this point of sale business? If you could share some of the competitive strategies around this business and whether we have achieved this target, and so now we're focusing more on the premium, on the core business, where obviously our margins are very high and we are also growing very good. If you could just underline your POS strategy in line with the competition landscape.
So, Anshuman, I'll share what is possible to share on a public call. I think the first thing that we were very clear about was that we wanted to be leaders in this business. If you remember, we achieved that in January of this year. So, within 6-7 months of launch, we became the number one company. That we have maintained. The second thing that we want to achieve is that we want to build a sustainable business. And to us, building a sustainable business means that our agent partners, their income must go up by working with Policybazaar. We are on that path. One of the main ways of doing that is to ensure that they have non-motor products to sell and they are able to sell them. So that's something that we are focused on. As you rightly picked up, our premiums are not expanding dramatically now quarter on quarter because we are focused on the realization and focused on making the whole business a lot more efficient. That is the phase that we have now entered in, I would say, in Q3 and Q4. And we have, obviously, we have a lot more plans for this business, which we'll share with you as we go along. But the idea is that first to have leadership, then to improve the economics. And thirdly, you know, you'll see us doing things which will be very different from what other POSP players have been doing. Clearly, we are not in this business just to do what others are doing. And you will see that coming through in the next financial year.
Right, sir. Right. And lastly, I know I just wanted to kind of, you know, underline the fact that this 2000 crore of quarterly premiums in the core business, it compares to that 4700 crore premium in FY21, right? So in a like to like, that would be the right comparison?
Yes.
You're right.
Yes. Absolutely. See, sorry, I should also comment on the core business that our focus has always been on the core business. We have separate management teams which look at the core business and the POSP business. And I would say even at my level, 80% of my time and energy goes on the core business alone. So it has never been the case that we have focused more on POSP at the expense of the core business. And I think that is seen in the numbers. As you can see, the core business has been profitable for 3 quarters straight now. And I think, you know, the premiums have been growing rapidly. So I think the core business is our main focus, and I think we continue in the over the next 5-10 years.
Right. I thank you for disclosing this number, because that really gives us a very good picture about the growth in the core business. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, yeah. So as we go by, we will disclose more and more. Hopefully from April next year, we'll be disclosing a lot more than we disclose yet. We're still learning,
Fair enough. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Dhawal from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just two questions. First is, on the sort of use of cash as you, move towards profitability. I know you sort of responded that first you want to reach the target before thinking about utilization. But just if you could give some, perspective of, initial thoughts, that would be useful. And also the background here is on inorganic, we've always been very, cautious from a valuation standpoint sort of chose to build versus, purchase, buy. So just some perspective around use of cash would be useful. And the second question is, I think this was Subbu's question relating to breakup between credit and non-credit revenue for same quarter last year. Those are two questions. Thanks.
So first of all, I'll share something with you. I think somebody told me the markets react very quickly. So I think I had internally thought that this question of what will you do with cash will become a very important question, or become the main question for us in about April 2024, because we would have delivered a year of profits, and that is when people would say, okay, now that is done and we don't have that question anymore, we would like to know what you will do with the cash. But you guys react too quickly, You have already assumed we've made profit for next year, and you started asking us that question today. So give us a little more breathing time. But genuinely, in the spirit of disclosure, I have asked Mandeep to already start thinking about strategies for what to do with that cash. And at this point, our thought process is we should return it to the shareholders over the years to come, one way or the other. We don't know how, we don't know the mechanisms. But, that is for Mandeep to figure out, because that's why he's the group CFO. I think... regarding your other question, I think credit last year, same quarter, I don't think we have those breakups, but
revenue, we don't.
They were doing about 50 crores of revenue in credit. It is about 101 crores now. So broadly, that gives you some answers.
And also, if you see the dispersal, we always look at dispersal YOY growth. It usually is a very, very strong correlation with the revenue.
Yeah.
So our dispersals grew by 94% YOY for the quarter and 110% for H1. That usually will give you a good indicator of how the revenue is growing.
But broadly, they've kind of, the credit business has kind of done okay. They've almost doubled.
Got it. Thanks, and wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Arpit.
Yeah. Just wanted to understand what are the kind of contribution margins you are targeting in the new business initiatives, because right now if I see the contribution margins in the core business, they are around 45%, and there are of course more levers to pull over there. But if I see the new business initiatives, you think it will be a contribution margin for positive by, let's say, FY24 end?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, by FY24 end, new businesses will be contribution positive.
And if I heard it correctly, you have said FY24 PAT positive even after ESOP cost?
After ESOP cost, yes. It's a very straightforward thing. I'm not talking rocket science here. We will be adjusted EBITDA positive by the last quarter of this year. So already, our interest cost covers our adjusted EBITDA loss already. Now, what do we have to do next year? Our adjusted EBITDA would have broken even because you can clearly see, you know, Paisa Bazaar headed that way and Policy Bazaar is making more. So the core business is making about, whatever, approximately 200 crores of extra profit this year compared to last year. Call it whatever, right? Call it adjusted EBITDA, call it whatever, margin. So next year, that will happen again, right? And as that happens, that would take care of, and you've got your interest income. So essentially what happens is your interest income this year was taking care to some extent of some of the new initiatives, etc. Or we are at that stage where the interest income is taking care of the new initiatives. Next year, the interest income has to take care of our ESOP costs, which is, to me, a notional cost, but I think everybody believes it's a real cost, so let's treat it as a real cost. And we will cover it next year. It'll be approximately the same, right? About 250-300 crores of interest income, about 300 crores of ESOPs. And the rest of the business will be adjusted EBITDA positive. So there's no difference between adjusted EBITDA and PAT for us in the real sense, as I see it, yeah.
Got it. So just wanted to understand, you all are having close to 5,500 crores cash. And if I see the stock price is around 400 levels or so, it's around 17,000 crores of market cap. So you think this is a good market cap where you can actually prepone your buyback and go for a better capital allocation at current prices rather than when your business is better and your stock price is better, where your buyback would be a lot higher level. You think that is a possibility?
All these interesting conversations are for post April 24. Let us deliver what we have to do. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We are very confident of what we are building. I think, let's be very clear, right? As we got into the area where the market was much more focused on profits, we as a company did not kind of bulk under that pressure or whatever you want to call it. We actually started new initiatives, which if we hadn't done, we would have been profitable right now. But we actually started new initiatives, and all those losses that we've taken this year have actually been because they were the right thing to do for the company. So we will continue to do what's right for the company. And at the same time, we are fairly confident of the core strength of our business. And I say that with a lot of conviction because I have seen our operations and how difficult it is to do something like we are doing. We feel good about it, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's deliver it. Confidence needs to be replicated with execution.
Got it. And let's say the ESOP cost the ESOP cost, let's say by FY 2025-26 will be reduced to a minimal, let's say 100-120 crores or so. So you think the PAT of 400-500 crores by then is a good number to look at?
26-27 is the only number I'm aiming for, and that's 1,000 crore PAT.
Got it.
And I'm I'd love to do a double or quits with anybody on that. On my entire equity held in Policy Bazaar. Anybody who wants to have that conversation, I'm very happy to have that conversation.
Got it. So just want to understand, if let's say your PAT goes to 1,000 crores, what be the path of that? Let's say you are seeing EBITDA positive by FY 23, PAT positive FY 24. So what kind of revenues are targeting? Because besides the current run rate, we are at around 2,000 crore plus.
I think we are very straightforward to predict. All the analysts have done all of that work very well. They are not very far off from what we believe. Somewhere around 6,000 crores should be the number. But it's okay. Let us get there. It's too far right now to get into exact details. And we don't usually... I just want to lay out our ambition, right? Our ambition or our thought process.
See, if you look at our last four quarters numbers, the delta has been 50 crore plus per quarter from the year before. And we're talking about 20 quarters from now. And obviously there are different pieces. There are core business, there's tail income, there are experimentations becoming more efficient, the offline thing, hybrid model that they're running. So, a lot of these will start to come together, but dynamic that the delta over last year for every quarter continues the same way in some form. And that itself will answer your question.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much.
Then there is Putin and Xi and God. So, you know, I don't know what else will happen in the world. So it's okay. but as far as controllables are concerned, I think we should be fine.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dev Jodh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just one question from my side. So you mentioned the number of employees in the offline channel, so it's about 1,000. Could you share the similar number like for the POSP agents and the other advisors that you have?
I don't think we want to go into this level of detail. I mean, these are,
We have more than 100,000 POSP agents now, about 100,000 POSP agents. But, you know, it's really not a relevant number because what's relevant is how many of them are doing how much. So let's not get into that level of granularity. Let that be with the management. But yeah, we have about 100,000 agents on the POSP.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rahul from Lion Rock Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rahul here. I just wanted to talk about the Bima Sugam initiative a little bit more detail. The way I look at it, I know you guys mentioned that it could be the UPI movement. But on the flip side, a UPI movement has led a lot of payment companies to just do a lot of volume but little revenue. And the regulators talked about reducing the premium while transacting through Bima Sugam and making it a marketplace. So I'm just curious from a market perspective, from a market opportunity perspective, how this could impact the business.
I think as I said, we see it. There are two things, right? I think from a positive perspective, it would be a GDS, a distribution system. What you speak about is, in my opinion, a very remote possibility. Of course, everybody has their opinion on this thing right now. But I don't think that as a conclusion, you know, the payment ecosystem as a conclusion, as in, let's say, three players having 90% of the market, I don't think that is a conclusion that the regulator is going to prefer. You know, you can think about what that would do to agency, what that would do to... of course, there are 3-4 players in the market who have the ability to take that route. And of course, we are one of them. There's no doubt about that. But I don't... I think I'll leave it there. I think between my lines, you do realize this is a regulatory matter. I don't want to speak more than a certain amount on it. But I think that is not a conclusion that the industry, the regulator is hoping for with three players having 90% market share.
And I also just want to add, if you see some of the things we've been doing, and I think we've spoken about them today, one is the service experience that we seek to deliver. Insurance is a complex product. Payments are a slightly simpler product. So the experience that we are delivering, whether it's in terms of post-purchase experience, whether it's in terms of claims, I think that'd be a big difference. And the second thing that you also have to remember is that we are in the risk business, right? So the channel which can bring better risk to the insurer will always have a certain advantage and perspective. So I would just leave you with those two thoughts. One is customer experience and secondly the risk. It's not, the same person is not the same person, right, in insurance. Whereas in payments, it doesn't matter who I'm sending the money to.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick follow-up on this. I understand the details are very few and I completely get your point. Like, not everything done by government is UPI. Just a quick follow-up here is that when I think about Bima Sugam, the way the communication has been from the regulator, from the government here, has been that they want to create a platform on which anyone can come on and buy insurance products. And even kind of act as an online repository and where even the claim processing has to be done. So I'm just curious, like, who would be the counterparty dealing with the customer? Would that be like, if you are part of the Bima system, would the customer be dealing with you? Or would, let's say, if HDFC Life or someone else is on the platform and insurance manufacturer is there, so who would the customer be dealing with, even if they are going to the platform, the Bima Sugam platform? That's one last
question. Let's take, you know, at this point, given everybody knows a little bit, let's take the analogy of any of the two, right? Let's take the travel industry analogy where we are talking about a GDS, or let's take the UPI analogy. You know, the customers deal with UPI via the large payment with, via Google, via you know, PhonePe, via Paytm, etc. Right? So yeah, I do you know, if it absolutely becomes the UPI, so still there are players who are doing the front end interfacing. So let's see. I think it has a lot of evolution ahead of it. There are you know, I think there's a lot of positive it can do to the industry. And remember, the eventual objective of the regulator is to increase insurance penetration. And if you keep that at the back of your mind and think about what will increase insurance penetration, I think it will give you a lot of answers.
Okay, I'll leave it there. I think it's probably we can have a lot longer discussion, but I'll leave it here for now.
Thank you. We'll take our last question from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just one quick question. You know, our ESOP expense for FY23, you know, can you give some estimation? I think 1H we've already done 340 crores. So, you know, could it surpass 5500 crores or even higher?
So, Rishi, basically, as we explained, the charges for these grants started from October last year. So first 6 months of this year was the half of the first year charge, which is roughly 23% of the total. The second half is going to be half of the 26%, so 13% of the total. So yes, there may be some new grants, but those are relatively small numbers which will happen. But you can just see, first half 23%, second half 13%, in that ratio, 23% 13.
And just to give you an example, in this quarter, we have had ESOP expenses of about 173 crores. In the next quarter, this might be just a shade above 100 crores. You know, so
that comes to 550.
That basically will give you the indication that it starts to decline quite rapidly. If you look at 25-26, the total ESOP expense for the year might be close to 100 crores. And in 26-27, it might be about 50-60 crores.
Yes, yes, understood. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Yashish Dahiya for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, everyone, for taking time out to attend our call. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for your questions. I hope we were able to answer most of them adequately. Thanks very much, and we'll improve upon this as time goes. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.